I'd like for us to look in Nehemiah tonight, Nehemiah chapter 9. The book of Nehemiah provides us with, I think, some very valuable truths, light on what an attitude should be of someone that has benefited so much for maybe undeserved graciousness and mercy. I'm thinking about the people of God, and I'm thinking about the God who has blessed us and has certainly been merciful and gracious to us. Nehemiah is a very special person. This 70 years of captivity in Babylon and all that was involved in being subject to your enemies all those years, you have to walk and march to their drumbeat. And Nehemiah, of course, was the king's cupbearer. Very important job. He protected the king. Proves to me that he must have been well thought of, trusted, a trusted servant. In the early chapter, in fact, the first chapter, when we're introduced to him and he discovers about what conditions are like back home, in Jerusalem, the destruction of the city, all that had been done to take away the place of worship and praise for the people of God, he sat down and wept. He is a picture and is often used as a good example of those that would take positions of caring for God's people. He certainly has those qualities. He's concerned. And he has a spiritual interest in God's people. And you know about the miraculous thing that he accomplished in going back to the city. And in 52 days, he got that wall finished around the city of Jerusalem. You ask people that are in the building business and say, boy, that was really a miraculous job that was accomplished. And with unskilled labor very often. But God was the one that was behind it all. And he had a man of God that was very, very committed to doing the will of God and serving God's people. And that applies to all of us. Adversity and trial have a way of strengthening us. And this experience of being in Babylon for 70 years, when you read through the book, and you get to the 9th chapter, and he gives a review of maybe the attitude, the history of the children of Israel, blessing that had been bestowed. Sometimes their response, we're going to look at a couple of things that, as I was reading through that this afternoon, I thought, you ought to be ashamed of yourself after all that he's done for you. After all he's done for you, you should have responded in complete obedience to the will of God. So, what we have is Ezra reading, taking up the law of God and reading the law of God. And it was the keeping of the feast, the 7-day feast. And it says in the beginning of chapter 9, now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for one fourth of the day. And for another fourth they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. You can see how important the Word of God was to God's people. And it hasn't changed. I often think about it. Suppose I didn't have the Word of God. I must have a dozen Bibles in my home. And a lot of others that have been discarded, that are worn out. I always have problems knowing what to do with a worn out Bible. I don't like to throw it away. But the impact of the Word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Think about it just for a second. What would it be like if I didn't have a Bible, if I didn't have the Word of God? Well, this brings you it to your attention that it has an impact on you. It will create what God wants to see in His people. It can be the confession of sin. And worship and praise began to emanate in the hearts and souls of God's people. They're being drawn back to a remembrance. And the verse that I'd like to start out on is the one that has all of these the Levites cried out with loud voice on the Lord their God, and the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bena, Hashabana, Sherebiah, Hadijah, Shabana, and Pethahiah said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever." Now, it would be wonderful if you could just take that one step, make that statement, and say, "I'm never going to backslide again. From now on in, all the way, I'm 100%. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever." After all, you've been in captivity for 70 years. You've been paying a high price for your disobedience. You don't want it to happen again. You would think, first and foremost, your love for the Lord and your obedience to what you know is found in the Word of God. I won't do that anymore. That's why I think it's so important that people make New Year's resolutions. You break them. At least I do. But I tell you what, I've kept some pretty good ones. And they've stayed with me. So, don't feel bad if you break one. If you've kept one, you've made some progress. So, blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve them all. The hosts of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abraham. Takes you back to their roots. Abraham, called from the Ur of the Chaldees, a special man to go to a land that he had never been to before. Perhaps he had never heard of it. But by faith, Abraham took those steps that God instructed him to take and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you. He made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. I think the important thing that comes to mind is God is always faithful. Always. Do you ever think about sometimes that you know you failed? I know Psalm 14:19, it makes some statements about secret sins. Secret sins. I know. It's better to keep them a secret. If you didn't, shame on you. But it also talks about presumptuous sins. And you know, this is a little scary, but have you ever done something that you knew it was wrong when you did it? I mean, since you've been saved, since you've been a child of God, you know I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't even have had that thought. But you did it anyway. The psalmist says, deliver me. Deliver me. You know, that embarrasses you when you think about it. I've done things that I knew it was wrong when I did it. I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. The children of Israel were guilty of that over and over and over again. And Abraham, of course, is a bright spot in this whole section that Nehemiah has given to us. He said, you saw the affliction of your fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all his the people of his land. For you know that they acted proudly against them. So you made a name for yourself, as it is this day. And you divided the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea and dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep, as a stone into the mighty waters. And moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the road which they would travel. Think for a moment, if you'd ever been through that experience, and God had performed those miraculous things right before you. You were a witness to these things. You think you'd ever forget it? Do you think the awe and wonder of how powerful God is would ever leave you? It'd ever diminish in any way so that you'd commit a presumptuous sin? Well, we do. You say what he did for them, opening up the Red Sea and walking through there on dry land and providing this cloud by day to shelter them from the heat of the desert sun, and by night giving them a wonderful light. Neon lights can't stand up to what God provides. And there it was, made the way clear. They did a lot of traveling by night. The best time to travel. There weren't many cars on the road. That's why some people travel at night. But you wouldn't think, really, as you think about it, and then you think about it again, and you say, well, we haven't improved too much, have we? After all he's done for us. After all our God has done for us, we're saved by the grace of God. We're going to read in just a moment some things that Nehemiah brings to our mind about the wonderful things that characterize our God. You know, you wouldn't think that we would ever walk contrary to all that God expects of us. I think the Lord, without question, does have high expectations of us as the redeemed of the Lord. After all that He's done for us. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven, gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbaths and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst. And told them to go to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. God's provision. And He can deliver the goods. Sometimes people promise you things. There's no way they could do what they promise you they will do. But then there's cases where they could have delivered, but they didn't. Not so with the Lord. He delivers all that He promises. Beginning at verse 16, but they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks. What's going on here? Hardened their necks and did not heed your commandments. You mean to tell me that they've reached a point where they think that they know better than God knows? And some of the things that God has instructed them to do, they have a better way? You can bet on it. They did. And some of the things, and did not heed your commandments, they refused to obey. They refused to obey. That's a hard statement. I wouldn't like somebody to say to me, you stood right up and defied God. You said, I'm not going to do it. You'd say, Bob, you're a fool. I'm not going to do it. You know it's right there in the book. It says do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You have a better way? Well, I just don't feel right doing that, and I'm not going to do it. That's something to think about, isn't it? And they were not mindful of your wonders. How could you ever forget that? You think if you'd have gone through the Red Sea, been delivered out of Egypt and out of bondage for all those years, and God's provision and all that manna that was provided for all those years in the world, you think you'd forget that? Let's see how you could forget those things. But then let's narrow it down to how it applies to us. We forget. We're great forgetters. Well, I wasn't thinking. It was an absent-minded thing that I did. It's no excuse for it. But I did it anyway. They again hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a leader. Do you know what he's talking about here? Do you know what it says in Numbers chapter 14? When the children of Israel arrived at that place where they were going into the promised land, Caleb and Joshua knows, we can take the land. And God said, let's take it, and we could have taken it. The people decided, let's get us a new leader and let's go back to Egypt. Do you know what? That's what they were going to do. That's what Numbers tells us very clearly. We don't like this experience of following directions from God in which He says He's going to deliver us out of bondage and He's going to deliver us into the promised land already. Opposing the mind and the will of God as He directs them. I'm asking you tonight just to carry this over for a moment in your own mind and say, do we ever do that? Do we ever do that? I really don't like doing it exactly this way. Nobody's going to know about it but me. That's one of our secret sins. I'm not going to do it. I'll get me, in this case, they were going to appoint a new leader. That's rebellion against the authority of God. To return to their bondage. I don't think I've ever heard a person say, I hate the day I was saved. I really do. I've never really been completely satisfied with God's salvation. It's a puzzle to me. I'm just not happy with it. I've never heard a person say that. I hope no one ever has. If he has, let's give him credit for having lost his mind. Because what we have, God has given to us, we should never forget it. And we should never stop praising and worshiping Him for it. But Nehemiah makes some statements, and that's what I wanted to focus on. And I think it's very important. He says, but you are God. You're God. And you are ready to pardon. The characteristic of God is that what so often we don't find among the sons of men, ready to pardon. No, I'll never forget that. Never. I was offended. I felt badly about this, all because of what you said, what you did. God will pardon. He stands ready to pardon. You say, we deserve to be pardoned. Oh, you do? Poor lost sinners, wandering in the wilderness of this world, no hope, as poor Gentiles. God owes it to me. After all, He created me. God doesn't owe you anything. He gives us what we don't deserve, doesn't He? By grace and mercy. And these will be borne out in what we have to say. Gracious and merciful is our God. Gracious and merciful. Loving kindness characterizes our God. Someone that has committed every sin in the book. And He's willing. He's willing to show grace and mercy to that person. Loving kindness for poor lost sinners. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them who fear Him. It's a wonderful thing to have in your soul a deep reverence for God. I was listening to Erwin Lutzer just a while back. He was talking about wisdom. A lot of people in the world today are given credit for being wise people. They possess great wisdom. No, they're great intellectuals. They know how to do a lot of great things. But they deny that there's even a God. And Lucha was quick to say, no, they don't have wisdom. They're fools. The fool has said in his heart there's no God. There are many, many people today, leaders among us. They're not believers in God. They're fools. They possess great intellect. They know a lot of things that we don't know. And they're looked up to and they're respected, but they're not wise. They don't possess the wisdom of God. And Luther was quick to say, you may not like it, but we've got a lot of fools in high places. And we have to accept that. Slow to anger. You know, I remember my grandfather said all the time, if somebody flew off a handle, he said, you can always tell what a man, what he really is by what he'll get upset about. And I have seen people, it didn't take much to trigger them off. But slow to anger, aren't you grateful to the Lord tonight that He's slow to anger? He's so long-suffering, kind and gracious, willing to pardon. He's abundant in kindness. And He did not forsake them. When I read that, I thought about it for a while, and then I turned to John chapter 10. When I think about people, they say they're saved sometime. But they can lose their salvation. Oh, yes. I've been saved. I remember this friend of mine, he'd been saved 8 times, I think he said. He said, every time they gave an altar call, I went to the front. He did not have any eternal security of his salvation. But after having had these words read to him a number of times, he changed his mind. In John chapter 10, he said, the Lord Jesus said, I told you and you do not believe the works that I do, my Father in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. You're a child of God. You're one of His. You're one of His sheep. And I know them and they follow me. I like the way this flows. I give unto them eternal life. How in the world can someone give you eternal life and then begin to talk about how shaky it is? This is eternal life. Eternal life. They shall never perish. It's got all the protection that God can provide. You are protected. The benefits are tremendous that you will never suffer the judgment and the wrath of God. How do you like that? I like it. I believe it. Why some people want to go about all of their lives almost, like that friend of mine. I've been saved 8 times. I sure would like to have that assurance you have. Well, it's yours, and if you are saved, you are truly saved. You're saved, but you're not enjoying it. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, Hebrews says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the 13th chapter. And in that same tone it says, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not, will not fear what can man do to me. We become so fearful sometimes of what we hear is happening in the world and what may come our way as adversity. But nothing is ever going to touch you, child of God, but what God allows you to be touched by. Job was in the care of God from the very beginning. With all the things that happened to him, he was still under God's care and keeping. And Satan couldn't do a thing but what God allowed him to do. As a child of God, I don't believe this idea that Satan has come and he can do things to us not without God's permission. We do read in Scripture that sometimes some of God's people that are out of hand, you can pray, well, let Satan have a shot at them, like he did with Job, and see if that'll turn them around. But I don't like that idea at all. I know that we have a God, and Nehemiah reminds us of this. He reminded the people of God of it. We have a God that is ready and willing to pardon. See, God wants to forgive, and he does forgive. And thank God what he forgives, he forgets. All of my sins, the past, the present, and the future, they're as far away from God's thoughts as the east is from the west. Measure the deepest place you want to in the sea. That's how far God has put my sins away from them, and it's all because of what his beloved Son did upon the cross. And the words that he closed with, it is finished. We belong to God, a wonderful God. Let us live for him. Let us praise and worship him until he comes. Or we take leave and go to be with him. Whichever comes first, praise his holy name. Amen.